If you want to understand where aviation is heading over the next decade, don't look at the skies over Seattle or Wichita right now. Look at the bayous. Louisiana has just announced it is breaking ground on facilities designed specifically to host flight demonstrations of electric and autonomous aircraft. Aircraft that haven't yet completed the full Federal Aviation Administration or FAA-type certification process. Pre-certified in the industry's language, and the Pelican State is betting that getting in early, building the infrastructure before everyone else, will make it the place where the next chapter of aviation gets written. I'm Tower. This is ATIS on Radio Hangar. And today we're going deep on what it actually means to test an aircraft that doesn't yet have a type certificate. What Louisiana is building and why, and what it means for everyone listening. Whether you fly a Cessna 172 or you're watching this eVTOL wave from the sidelines wondering if any of it is real, today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Let's start with the basics, because the word pre-certified is doing a lot of work in this story, and it's worth unpacking. When we talk about pre-certified aircraft in this context, we mean aircraft operating under some form of limited FAA authorization, but that haven't completed the full type certification process. A type certificate is the gold standard. It means the FAA has examined every system, every failure mode, every performance characteristic, and concluded that this aircraft is airworthy in the way we define airworthy. It is a long process by design. But here's the tension. Manufacturers developing new electric propulsion systems, new autonomous flight control software, new battery architectures. They need to fly. They need real-world data. They need to demonstrate their systems work not just in simulation, but in actual atmospheric conditions, with real margins, in front of real customers and regulators. And they need to do that before the type certificate is in hand, because the type certification process itself requires flight data. The FAA has mechanisms for this. Experimental airworthiness certificates allow manufacturers to fly aircraft for purposes of research, development, and testing. But experimental certificates come with restrictions. You generally can't fly over populated areas. You can't carry passengers for hire. For autonomous aircraft, it gets more complex still, because you're not just certifying an airframe. You're certifying a system that makes decisions a human pilot would normally make. And that requires a level of demonstrated reliability that takes time and flight hours to prove. That's where state-level facilities become genuinely valuable. If a state builds a dedicated airspace environment, potentially with access to restricted airspace, ground infrastructure, telemetry support, and defined safety corridors, manufacturers get a place to accumulate flight hours without fighting for every waiver and every authorization individually. The friction is reduced, the testing moves faster. Louisiana's play is specifically about creating that environment. According to Flying Magazine's reporting, the state is breaking ground on facilities designed to support future demonstrations of these emerging aircraft. The language matters here. Demonstrations, plural, pre-certified aircraft, plural. This isn't a showcase for a single company. This is infrastructure meant to attract a category of industry, not a single tenant. Now let's talk about who actually shows up to test at a facility like this. Look at the landscape of electric aviation development right now. You've got several distinct categories. First, the electric vertical takeoff and landing manufacturers, the eVTOL sector. Companies like Joby Aviation, which is working toward FAA-type certification for an aircraft capable of carrying a pilot and four passengers at around 200 miles per hour over ranges of roughly 100 miles. Joby has logged thousands of flight hours and is one of the further along programs in terms of FAA engagement. Then there's Archer Aviation, which has also been accumulating flight data and working through the certification gauntlet. The eVTOL space has been through a significant shakeout over the past 2 to 3 years. Lilium, the German developer, went through bankruptcy and is attempting to restart under new ownership. Several other well-funded programs either restructured or failed outright. The companies still standing are the ones that either found sustainable paths to funding or actually made measurable progress toward the regulatory finish line. Second, electric conventional aircraft, not vertical lift configurations, but aircraft that fly like an airplane with electric propulsion. Beta Technologies, out of Vermont, has taken an approach that's different from most eVTOL companies. Their fixed-wing electric aircraft, the Alia, is designed for range and efficiency. Beta has been working with United Parcel Service and the United States Army, among others, but what's underappreciated about Beta is their charging infrastructure strategy. They've been building a proprietary charging network at airports across the country. If you're going to operate electric aircraft commercially, you need a place to charge that isn't a jerry-rigged extension cord at a transient tie-down. Beta is solving that systematically, and that matters. Then there's Textron Aviation, which includes Pipistrel under its umbrella. Pipistrel has been building certified electric aircraft longer than almost anyone in this sector. Their Velis Electro holds a European Union Aviation Safety Agency type certificate, making it one of the very few electric aircraft certified for flight training. That experience in European certification has given them data and credibility that feeds into their FAA conversations stateside. Third, and this is where Louisiana's autonomous focus is most relevant. Completely pilotless aircraft, or aircraft designed to fly without a human on board. These face a regulatory challenge that makes eVTOL certification look straightforward. The FAA's framework is built around the assumption of a human pilot in command. Remove that human, and you don't just need to certify the airframe, you need to certify the software, the sensors, the redundancy architecture, the logic the system uses to make decisions. You need to demonstrate that the autonomous system can detect and avoid other aircraft, respond to weather, handle emergencies, at a level of reliability that meets or exceeds what we expect from a human pilot. That is a genuinely hard engineering and regulatory problem. Companies like Reliable Robotics have been working on autonomous retrofit systems for small cargo aircraft, logging flights with FAA authorization in controlled environments. There are others, from defense contractors exploring autonomous logistics to startups building pilotless aircraft for cargo delivery. All of them need flight hours, and lots of them. Here's why Louisiana specifically makes geographic sense for this. The state's coastal geography creates operational diversity that's hard to replicate elsewhere. You've got flat, open terrain in the interior. You've got coastal and overwater routes. You've got proximity to the Gulf of Mexico offshore energy infrastructure, which is actually a legitimate near-term customer for autonomous cargo and inspection aircraft. Right now, servicing offshore oil and gas platforms involves helicopter flights that are expensive, weather-dependent, and put crews at risk. If you can replace a routine cargo or inspection run with an autonomous aircraft, that's a real commercial market, not a hypothetical one. Louisiana understands this, because Louisiana's economy is tied to that offshore industry. They're not just building a test facility for abstract aviation future, they're building it adjacent to a customer base. The competition among states for aerospace technology development is real and has serious economic weight behind it. Texas made significant investments in commercial space and aerospace infrastructure. Florida has its Cape Canaveral corridor and expanding drone testing programs. Georgia targeted aviation maintenance, repair, and overhaul operations. Virginia developed drone delivery infrastructure through partnerships in the FAA's Unmanned Aircraft Systems Integration Pilot Program. Now Louisiana is making its move in a specific niche: flight test and demonstration for pre-certification aircraft. The pitch to manufacturers is clear. We have airspace, we have land, we have proximity to a real-world customer base in offshore energy, and we have the political will to make this work. Bring your development programs here for the FAA. Facilities like Louisiana's serve a secondary purpose worth understanding. The agency is working through how to handle the wave of novel aircraft certification requests without an unlimited supply of engineers. One approach the FAA has leaned into is performance-based certification, which focuses on what a system can demonstrably do rather than prescribing exactly how it must be built. That's a shift from traditional airworthiness standards, and it requires real-world data to make the case that a given system meets the performance bar. Dedicated test environments generate that data more efficiently than scattered operations under individual waivers. So in a sense, Louisiana isn't just helping manufacturers, it's helping the FAA build the evidentiary record that new aircraft categories need to get certified. There's also a community dimension to this that doesn't get enough attention. One of the persistent arguments for electric aircraft, particularly eVTOL, is noise. A conventional helicopter produces a very specific acoustic signature that communities near heliports or flight paths have complained about for decades. Many of the eVTOL designs in development produce significantly less low-frequency noise, though they introduce their own acoustic characteristics that are different rather than necessarily quieter at all frequencies. The noise profile matters for where these aircraft can operate commercially. A less intrusive acoustic footprint makes it easier to site a vertiport in an urban or suburban area. It affects permitting, it affects community opposition, and ultimately it affects whether the business model works in dense markets where these vehicles are supposed to generate revenue. For this reason, test facilities that let manufacturers actually measure and document their noise profiles in controlled conditions are valuable, not just for engineering data, but for regulatory and community engagement. Louisiana could provide that, depending on what the facility ultimately includes in its instrumentation. Now, a note of honest calibration. The eVTOL and electric aviation space has been full of ambitious timelines that slipped. Companies raised billions of dollars, generated enormous press attention, and found that both the engineering challenges and the regulatory path were harder and longer than initial projections. Several well-funded programs have gone through bankruptcy, restructuring, or significant pivot in the last few years. The shakeout has been real, so when a state breaks ground on facilities for pre-certified aircraft, part of the honest picture is that some of the companies planning to use these facilities may not exist in their current form in 5 years. That's not a reason to dismiss what Louisiana is doing. Infrastructure investments take time to pay off, and aviation moves in decades, not quarters. If Louisiana builds the right facility now, and it takes 7 years for the autonomous cargo market to develop meaningful commercial operations, they're positioned well. If it takes 12 years, they still have the asset. The risk is if the technology never delivers at commercial scale in the categories they're targeting, which remains a real possibility in some corners of this market. For general aviation pilots specifically, here are the things worth tracking. Airspace is the first one. As autonomous aircraft operations accumulate in specific corridors and around specific facilities, that has implications for how those corridors are managed. We've already seen temporary flight restrictions applied around drone testing operations. As the scale of autonomous flight testing grows, so does the potential for airspace structures that affect where you can go in a Piper Cherokee or a Vans RV. Well-designed airspace can absolutely accommodate multiple user types, but that requires general aviation pilots and groups like the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, or AOPA, to be at the table when states and the FAA are designing these environments. This is not a passive situation. Infrastructure is the second. If Louisiana and other states are investing in electrical charging infrastructure at airports to support commercial eVTOL operations, that infrastructure may also benefit electric general aviation aircraft over time. The certified electric trainer market is small, but real. Pipistrel, Bai Aerospace, and others are producing or developing aircraft in this category. If your local airport picks up charging capability because of a commercial eVTOL program, that's an asset for the broader electric general aviation community. The Louisiana announcement sourced from the reporting at Flying Magazine won't be the biggest story of the year, but it is a meaningful data point in a pattern that's been building. States are competing to be where the next phase of aviation gets tested because they've seen what happened with commercial space. Whoever built the launch infrastructure, got the jobs and the industry cluster that followed, aviation is going through an analogous transition, and Louisiana is making a deliberate bet that it wants to be in that group. More on this story and the rest of what's moving in aviation at RadioHanger.com. I'm Tower. Stay current, stay ahead of it.